If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Oh, hey, guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
This is tedious. Therightstuff.biz.
Yes. Hello. It is tedious. 1085.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff. The
Jewish apocalypse.
I have to wait for the music to end so we can play the video I want to play. Yeah. It's like the, you know, when somebody makes a, they put a video on YouTube and it's too quiet and you can't hear it. And also,
is that what that is?
Yeah, it's like it's so quiet.
Yeah, that's annoying. The fact that YouTube doesn't sort of like normalize.
Hey, there you go. Prep on 9/11. I like that title I came up with. I just called it Prep on 9/11.
Right.
And yeah. I called it, and I said in the description, Prep on the plane that crashed into the building. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we have, so then we have this here.
Were you in New York when the Twin Towers fell?
No, I was in Los Angeles.
Well, either way, it was a national tragedy.
What does that even mean?
It was.
I mean,
yeah, I know.
It's just making people uncomfortable.
9/11.
They just laugh.
We're going to go to hell.
Well, oh, God, there's Bo content.
Oh, no, there's Bo.
Your suggestions. What is that? What is that one?
Let's talk about Trump having Christie in his head. Like, my God, let's talk about the most irrelevant thing I can come up with.
Dude, is that... That's... Oh, man. That's something, I don't even want to discuss it.
No,
that's
I
a
don't.
Meme I saw, like, the mainstream media trying to push over the weekend. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, good, this guy. Is it Nick Swartzen?
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Because, like,
I've never even heard
because
that
now
name.
His guy's, like, 50 and he can't do the, like, the dumb kid act anymore?
Well, it's just, like, I mean.
Hey, for the ninth consecutive year, Nick, JetBlue Airlines ranked first for satisfaction among all North American airlines. But you know what ranked least in satisfaction?
No.
9/11 Airlines. What a terrible name for an airline. It reminds me of that tragedy.
Right?
Oh, 9/11.
You know? That guy like, doesn't know.
Yeah. I tried to tell him not
to
laugh.
Adam.
I know.
See?
I walked through blood and bones in the streets of Manhattan trying to find my brother.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was in northern Canada.
Oh, he's horrible. That's
that,
good.
No, that's is legitimately
so
funny.
Yeah.
Pawning it off on the co-host is the best. This guy, yeah. He's always making fun of 9/11.
This guy right here, he's always denying the Holocaust.
Look, this guy, he's talking about the chimneys, the shadows don't match. I'm like, look, I don't have all the answers. All I know is every one of those chimneys carried a human soul.
Well,
don't forget it.
Hundreds of thousands
like
of them, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just
anyway.
9/11 just doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I remember how solemn it would feel. It was almost a like
dude,
a national
nobody,
day
nobody
morning, national holiday.
That, well, the problem is
these smart ass Zoomers that weren't there.
Dude, I don't know
these
anybody that makes an issue of it anymore. They do a bit, but it's like I remember
Oh my God, what a fucking I wish I had cable tonight. Monday Night Football, that's why. It's the Jets. Like, you're going to have the Jets playing football on 9/11? Like, are they gonna have a flyover? Are they going to have the fucking fire, the NYPD, NYFD, like, fucking
they
heroes? Are they going to cart all that crap out from, like, the aughts and, like, have that all in the stadium and try to get, like, their fucking racially fucking destroyed crowd to like give a shit about the Jews that crashed some Arabs into some buildings.
Here's the thing with 9/11 is that, frankly,
9/11. Where's that bit from Borat? I don't care.
9/11. I totally forgot.
The dictator.
Do you remember like the there was a supercut of Rudy Giuliani from the Republican convention? I think 2004. You know, because Bush was reelected 2004, so I guess the convention would have been 2004. And he just says 9/11 like 25 times.
I'm sure he does.
So imagine you could find it. And sometimes he's like gesturing like really hard.
I know this guy's a kike, but
wait, what? I fucking hate.
It's
Sacha
not Borat. Baron. It's the dictator.
Whatever. It's still Sacha Baron Cohen.
America is number one. Oh, I am from USA. My father also from USA. My great grandfather fought in the American Civil War.
The point of the joke is he starts yelling 9/11.
This is just actually not that funny.
Well, it's funny when he's just yelling 9/11 in an aircraft with, and they're clearly like they're supposed to be Arabs. That's the bit.
That guy's supposed to be
Saudi Arabians.
An Arab.
Well, Borat's playing an Arab in this film. As far as I recall,
he gets to make fun of his racial.
I just like when he's yelling 9/11. It's kind of funny. Not as funny as. Oh well.
3, 2, 1.
Right over there. What are you looking up?
I was looking up Giuliani saying 9/11 like constantly at the. But again, it's like I can't find it now. So I can't find it. I mean, I can see his speech from that convention, but, you know.
And I said 9/11, 2012.
See, they're talking about a Porsche. That's why it's funny.
A Porsche.
Shut
the fuck up. Porsche.
I gotta be honest.
It's a Porsche, just like Nietzsche.
I have to be honest
with you. You could tell that I've owned one because I say Porsche.
What, like driving around thing gave you a speech impediment? Kind of cramp.
I'm gonna have to be honest.
Sorry,
with you.
That was too inside.
But like, I don't really think that bit was very funny.
It wasn't very funny. No,
I really can't. I can't get over.
All I want is the 2 seconds where he screams 9/11, and you like because they gave you the whole like 4 minute scene.
Yeah, it's really anticlimactic. But yeah, and I couldn't find the Giuliani supercut.
Of course not.
It's funny
because it's 9/11.
Well, it's like it used to be a thing.
You know what I can find? Yeah, passports of the hijackers who did it in the rubble below.
Yeah.
I can find that. Can't find the clip I want on YouTube, though.
No. You can't find anything anymore. Clip. The internet is truly just not useful.
The other day. Hold on. I found a clip the other day.
You know what I can find? You know what I can find, Alex? I can find a pilot school that will let me skate on like the landing and takeoff part.
Yeah, that's definitely real.
I can find those. I can find a laptop. I don't remember the details of the 9/11 guy's laptop. Never mind. Was it the 20th? I can find the 20th. Didn't the 20th hijacker have a laptop? And this had all the clues in it. All the planning. The 20th hijacker. Ubdop Shlemiel, whatever the fuck his name was.
There was some like mythical, it was like Zacharias Moussaoui or something like that.
Oh, is that him? What do you got here, Alex? League of Morons?
This is the perfect clip, and they trimmed it to the right length. This is how I feel every time I go in the comment section.
Oh.
What is this?
We're trying to be nice to the comment section today.
I'm not here representing hard bodies.
Oh, yes. I know very well what you represent.
Malkovich!
You represent the idiocy of today.
Is this burn after reading?
I don't represent that either.
He's from the gym.
You're the guy at the gym when I ask about that moronic woman.
She's not a moron.
You're in league with that moronic woman. You're part of a league of morons.
No.
That's good. That movie's actually pretty funny.
League of Morons.
That movie is great, dude. Of all of those Coen Brothers films, that's actually my
favorite. That's a Coen Brothers, too?
Yeah.
I watched No Country for Old Men the other day. I'm like, that's a Coen Brothers movie, too.
I'm almost positive Burn After Reading is Coen Brothers. I could be wrong, but it's...
Double check.
I feel like, have I been watching...
Burn After Reading is fun.
It's like,
Burn After Reading is a hilarious movie, dude.
Did I watch No Country for Old Men wrong? Is it supposed to be funny? Because it's a Coen Brothers film. Unless those are two other Coens,
did you find it funny?
No, I thought I was supposed to be taking it seriously and be like, holy fuck, this is crazy. But if I'm supposed to laugh, it's a whole different energy on that shit.
I mean, yeah, it is a Coen Brothers movie, yeah. They're both Coen Brothers
movies. I was
shocked.
Not all Coen Brothers movies are comedies.
I thought they were all dark comedies.
Well, they're all dark.
Yeah, that movie's just dark, and I'm like, I'm not laughing.
But
I'm
actually Burn After Reading isn't very dark. It's just funny.
I'm watching that movie, and I'm like,
I guess
Tommy Lee Jones is basically the white race. Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now. Mm-hmm. He's like trying to hang it up. He's had enough. He can't take it anymore. And he just wants out. And the world around him is just like insane. But there's no...
But the message is the world's always been insane.
I guess it had Mexicans.
Always bad.
That's a terrible...
I actually never saw No Country for Old Men.
That's a fantastic film, one of my absolute favorites.
It's pretty good. You know why? It came out during peak conservatard aughts, like Hollywood is dying, Hollywood is liberal, Hollywood is this, Hollywood, and like nobody was going. So every great movie that came out, I was like awash in sort of like pundits saying how terrible all this stuff was. So I didn't get to fully enjoy it like I should. That one, and what's the other one with the oil?
Oil.
The I Drink Your Milkshake movie. Those came out around the same time.
Oh, God.
The book's called Oil, but I don't remember what the movie's called.
I Drink Your Milkshake. Daniel Day-Lewis is in it.
Yeah. The oil movie.
Oh!
Like, those came out kind of at the same time. And And it was like, well, this is really
funny. I fucking hated that movie.
This is like anti-capitalistic propaganda made by a bunch of...
I really didn't like that movie.
I didn't like it either. I was not a fan.
It says
that oil movie. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, where he was like the oil baron or whatever. I found that to be not a good movie.
I haven't seen it since way back then.
Something about it, just like, it's one of those like overproduced, like obvious Oscar bait. Like everything is just like, it's like, bro, can you stop just like hitting me in the face with this shit? Like it's just too much.
Well, it's one of what's his face's insufferable books. So of course it's like that. Like his books were like that.
Oh man, all of that stuff.
Is it like The Grapes of Wrath, nigga?
Steinbeck? No.
Like who was the book by? It was one of those fucking people. They make you like they pretend as like just a great author. And when you're
there,
like,
will be
high.
Blood. Is the name of the
There Will Be Blood? Yeah, that's it.
I can't remember who the author
what's
was.
What's the writer? It's like one of those fucking terrible American authors that like. They try to tell you in seventh grade is like worthwhile, and you're just like, this is so boring. 27
novel.
Like,
Upton Sinclair.
Fuck that. Oh,
okay, there you go. The guy who wrote The Jungle. Yeah.
Fuck Upton Sinclair. Fucking right up his Upton ass. shove that book right up in your ass, Upton.
I really find, like, I don't think Americans write good books.
Wait, his Wikipedia entry, it says that Upton Sinclair was a muckraker.
Baggett? Oh.
And they literally call him a muckraker.
Well, yeah. Well, that's,
I didn't know there was like a position. I'd like to apply as a head muckraker.
Mm. Well, it's just a thing that. Well, the problem is there's no muckrakers anymore. Like there isn't any. I mean, the muckraking is like there's like fake muckraking.
There's Ranbot.
What I'm saying, like in terms of like the press, right? There's like because it's a style of journalism. Like you just try and find scandals, right? And you try and expose powerful people.
Hmm.
And so
I'm wrong. The muckrakers were reform-minded journalists, writers, and photographers in the progressive era.
Oh, reform-minded.
In the United States.
I thought they were just shit-slinging assholes.
I'm not really actually mad at Upton Sinclair, frankly. It's really not his fault that movie sucked, and he did actually expose some shit that was bad.
I imagine the source material is just as bad. But then, like, the movie, people were like, let's try to make a parallel to the George W. Bush administration here. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, you see, I really think you can't blame him for...
But then again, that could be there wasn't any of that. It's just, like, the pundits that I would listen to commenting back then were, like, are seeing it because it's for them. Like, I see it. I see a criticism of the thing I like in here. That's unacceptable. It's like maybe you have a guilty conscience, sir.
Here's the thing. Like, Upton Sinclair... I wouldn't judge him based on that movie. I really hated that movie, but I wouldn't. I haven't read any of his books.
It's just a book I remember. It's just the name of an author.
But
I remember from
school
being
school,
like,
they used to tell us he was great because of The Jungle and the exposing bad labor conditions and the meatpacking industry. I mean, does anybody think the meatpacking industry wasn't like a disgusting fucking mess back then?
Like, still is.
It still probably is. So, again, I can't really fault him for kind of blowing the lid off that one, blowing the water out of that, you know? Like, he went and blew the water out of the meatpacking industry. You can't really blame him. And if they made a shitty movie based on... And it's entirely possible this book was bad, but I don't... I'm not like... Like, A-logging Upton Sinclair is not something I'm particularly interested in. He wasn't Jewish.
Well, do you want your meat packed or not?
But I'll say this.
Had a little meat packing this morning.
When it comes to 9/11...
Booyah.
Here's what's sort of funny about
9/11.
Here's what's funny about 9/11. What they did, what the Jews did with 9/11 was actually very dastardly, not just the thing itself, but the media campaign afterwards. Yeah. Because they actually got all of these, like, right-wingers.
They dared you to figure this out.
I'm not talking about who done it. I'm not doing that. What I'm talking about is how the Jews presented this in the media and the reactions. They actually got, like, ruralites... right-wingers, Republicans, etc., very much excited about America again. Like, remember, Hank Williams Jr. redid his 1980s classic, Country Folk Will Survive, after 9/11 as, like, America Will Survive. And it's like, yeah, that was always going to be the case, buddy.
Remember,
but they had country singers doing songs about 9/11.
Well, my hair's turning white.
And
my neck's pretty red. My collar's always been blue.
And the thing was, though, what was funny about it...
I hate America so much.
What was funny about it, though, was that you had then urbanite libtards who were cynical about it. Sort of. They weren't cynical right away. They actually were, but they covered it up because they thought it was a bad look. But they were cynical. I know this.
Well, they were cynical, but they were on the losing side of... They had to portray the losing side of the event. Like, for that... For that SummerSlam, you know, they were gonna put the conservatives over. You know, they had to do the job. They had to take the L. They had to put up a little bit of a fight, so it's believable. But in the end, it's like this policy is going forward. We're gonna do some greater Israel expansion. We're gonna destabilize some Arab nations that we don't like that are nearby, and we're trying to encircle Iran. We're gonna go after it. And basically, you're just gonna let the conservatives get away with it. Okay. Like I said,
right. But then what happened later on, though, is then they went full cynicism on it, and they were like, now, like in that clip, the two white people in the front of the helicopter are meant to be everyday white Americans, and they're like actually portrayed kind of as the butt of the joke, where this greasy foreigner is like screaming 9/11, and they're all freaked out, right? It's funny. And, like, there is an element of, like, you do want to make fun of the stupid, like, overly solemn way that they talk about this day and all the things that happened. That's fucking cringy. But it's very interesting. It's almost like when Jews make something that is supposed to be leaning to, like, the right side of the spectrum or towards patriotism, like, they actually poisoned the country even back then. They had, like, poisoned the country a little bit too much with hating each other based on political identifications to really get a unity going, right? Even then, there was a brief moment of pretense of it, but it collapsed very quickly. And, you know, having been an urbanite, like, libtard at the time, I can tell you that, like, there was a lot of people... I mean, the 9/11 truth thing was almost like people who were just like, I actually don't really care very much about this. And I hate what the government's doing with it more than I'm, like, angry about the thing itself. And so it was a funny way of, like, how they did, like, the kayfabe back then. And they did give the right wing the win. But then that kind of set the precedent.
Well, had Gore been in president, the same shit would have happened.
Yes, exactly.
It just would have been covered differently.
Of course.
That's how it goes.
It would have been portrayed differently because think about how they're doing this Ukraine thing, right? Think about that. But the funny thing is that they really set the idea in people's head in that era that, like, the only thing conservatives get wins on is this sort of thing. But now the right is, like, much more against that kind of thing than libtards. And I don't know. It's just a funny thing the way the media handled 9/11, the way the Jews were, like, handling the kayfabe of it, how they and how it's like you have I mean, the fact that this Jew, Sacha Baron Cohen, is basically, again, he's pranking two groups.
Yeah.
He's pranking Arabs and he's pranking whites. And
well, he's trying to keep that conflict going. That's what that whole thing
was.
Yeah,
he's trying to keep it going, but he's also making fun of the white people. Like, those two white people in the front of the helicopter, the fat, stupid, ruralite, whatever, normal Americans, so are the butt of the joke.
You've never seen that film then, have you? The Dictator?
But I can tell what's going on.
No, like, where it goes at the end is just appalling.
But he also is, like, brutally making fun of Arabs and shit, too.
Well, he's brutally making fun of Arabs, but he's using it to make fun of Americans.
He gives a
final speech for whatever he's gone through as the dictator of whatever imaginary country. He's talking about how, like, being, like, an autocrat dictator is great. You can, if you want to, you can take a minority race and put as many of them in prison for no reason as you want.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
yeah.
Really now? Or it's like, or you could set them free to like let them just keep carjacking and killing you,
or you could have one tiny race run everything.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought, and you're in this position listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall?
But I'm also kind of like, whenever Sacha Baron, I'm like, so, like, what, like Israel then that does that?
That's true.
Oh, no, they actually
bulldoze them.
They're actually just taking a group that's like actually
roughly. You can just
bulldoze
as many people from one minority
they're
as
like,
you
see,
want.
If you're Jews, they don't have to be a minority. They can be roughly an equal number to you, and you'll still do it.
Yep.
Because you basically have used your monetary and media power to run the world's strongest empire, and so you can do whatever you want. So,
I just want to talk about 9/11ism. I was more of a Chad 9/11 enjoyer than a virgin one. Like, the virgin 9/11 enjoyer thinks that, like, this was a terrible attack, and we have to go out, and we have to do all this fighting now, so we don't have to fight them here. And I was a Chad, like, oh! That's a good excuse to go blow up some Arabs.
Right. which was like kind of the bit that they were doing.
I remember they would pretend like Saddam was saying something to them. I'm like, no, he didn't. He's just the same kind of person as them, and I want to blow him up. Like, right. That's how it's really supposed to be. Come on, stop being such pussies. What are we trying to prove this
point
for?
And that was actually the sentiment that they were exploiting, and except like they couldn't let you fully acknowledge that, so they
I fully acknowledged all the time.
You did, but like they were, the media knew that was a sentiment. They knew that was a sentiment they were exploiting. And they went and they were like, yeah, so let's actually give you this faggot stuff about democracy and stuff. This actually kind of
purple-fingered Iraqis.
Yeah, I remember when that shit happened, I was like, all right. I mean, and the media going around and like it would be great to find that some old footage of that, like of how they, and it, I remember being just like, dude, this country, like this media, that was when my anti-Semitism really started kicking in. Because I knew the Jews were, I knew that, I wasn't convinced that the Jews had done 9/11, but I knew that like, they were behind America, and they were behind American foreign policy, and that the war was because of Israel. I knew all of that. I was well aware of all of that, and I saw how ran that shit, and I was like, dude, these people are the fucking devil. Like, this is so, like, the way they manipulate shit, like, the way they fucking, I was like, it's unbelievable. And, like, the just, but this kind of, I mean, I could segue you into something else I had wanted to talk about. You know, it's kind of moving away from 9/11, so if you have more 9/11
Well, what
stuff,
I want to talk about, though, we're talking about the meatpacking plant.
Oh.
Okay, that's a totally different direction.
Is that in Building 7?
Well,
no.
I just want to comment that, like, one of the winning issues Republicans have found for themselves is promoting child labor.
Well, is that really a winning issue, though? Or is that just something that they've... done, that they're just done, whether there was a winning issue. It doesn't seem like that's ever a winning issue.
Yeah, but like, I had not realized how bad this issue is, but there's been several fatalities involving teenagers working for various businesses. There was a kid who got killed.
Virgin Mike, I'm going to take the subject slightly away from 9/11, the Chad McNabb. We're not even going to talk about 9/11 anymore. Meatpacking.
Well, we did bring up meatpacking. What you're saying right now is why I'm not mad at Upton Sinclair. It's why his book was probably, maybe he was a douchebag or whatever, I don't know, but the book probably did expose like a lot of terrible fucking things.
He's probably just a vegetarian crank. I made it all up. I just don't believe him.
I highly doubt that it wasn't.
I want my meat packed. Like, don't tell me how it happens. Plant. Just do it.
In Mississippi, right? They've had multiple people killed there. This year they had a Duvon Perez was the name of the teenager. So they are bringing in...
Yes, they are using illegal migrant...
Foreign child labor.
Child labor. Yes, they've been doing it forever.
That's because no one wants those jobs when they work hard.
Well, also the people that run these plants are fucking kikes. You remember that
you
one
You mean
in
people
Iowa.
From the only democracy in the Middle East?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
See how this all works? It's all,
remember the meatpacking plant in Iowa? With all the illegal labor and all the code violations and all the pollution and all the disgusting shit that was being put out, and the white people in the area did a protest, the press called them all anti-Semites, and then ultimately it got so bad they put that Jew in jail, and then Donald Trump pardoned him.
Yep.
Thanks, Trump.
And then we started passing laws around
and
the
he
country
was an Orthodox
about
Jew.
Then we started passing laws around the country about how many square feet of like roll around space pigs need to have on your farm. That helps.
Right. And the thing is with those kind of laws is like Jews are just not going to obey them. If when they put up these fucking these fly by night industries where they just hire illegal labor, just like pump out product, like they're not going to pay attention to any of this shit. They don't care about it. Just like remember,
can they use like a Mexican like miner to bless the meat they're packing?
I don't think they even bother with that.
Is it kosher?
This is not kosher. This is not for them.
It's just goy slop. Literal goy slop. It's for the goy.
It's a goy slop factory. Mm. So
solutions project. I gotta look up some of these things here because they've got these various organizations and agencies that are pushing this.
Urban
One of them is
solutions.
The Conservative Opportunity Solutions Project. This parent organization, Florida-based think tank Foundation for Government Accountability. Helped lawmakers in Arkansas and Missouri draft bills to roll back child labor protections. That's interesting. So the Foundation for Government Accountability wants to roll back child labor
protections. Dude, this is another thing we were discussing last week. That the in red states, there are these, think tanks, public policy advocates. But these public... Okay, so this is something that's been going on. While the governors of red states and politicians sort of signal against this, you know, the migrant crisis... They have stood up in these states, these kind of think tanks, public policy advocacy groups, chambers of commerce that are actively trying to fucking recruit illegal labor to their state to do this shit, to work in these kind of industries.
Do you want to hear the conservative cope for why this is a good thing to do, to roll this stuff back?
Yes.
The groups and allied lawmakers often say their efforts are about expanding parental rights and giving teenagers more work experience.
Mm.
It's a parent's rights thing. Like, if I want to send my kid into a salt mine, that's my right.
Right. And the idea in their head is like, oh, should my 14-year-old be allowed to go and like scoop ice cream down at like the ice cream store on the corner during the summer months to get some experience of responsibility? But in reality, it's like you got like 13-year-old beaners like packing meat.
I mean, what are you going to do with it? What
like dying.
Who's going to tell you what you can and can't do with your property? Your 13-year-old belongs to you.
Right. Yeah. So,
you know, you can send him to murder park.
But there's more to unpack, though. Like the work experience thing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we got to unpack the meatpacking plan.
There's a lot of stakes to unpack here.
Why is it that you got to get all this work experience?
Yeah. What's the idea of work experience? Why is that so important?
Like why does my kid need to get work experience in order to have a shot?
He's going to be a wagey
life?
His whole
like,
life.
Is the teenage
Well, you need to the child labor is necessary for you to get the work experience so you can have a halfway decent career, son.
Hold on, is the Mexican teenage meat packer, is that like an upwardly mobile like career path? Or just stay is it like the Bajit code shitting like QC guy, you just stay there forever?
I'm assuming that they just probably stay there. Well, they stay there until the thing gets so bad the EPA shuts it down, okay. And then they move. Then it's like moved to another location.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean the reality, of course, is you've got these various things like poultry plants and sawmills, and they come crying like, we can't find enough people to work here for the low wages we
offer
pay.
More you, pay.
Trust and, me. And Republicans are like, oh, I got a solution. How about child labor? See, you can negotiate easier with teenagers. Teenagers will take whatever you give them.
Yeah.
Well, also just like...
Especially if they're
illegal immigrants. Like, yeah. The other thing is, you remember, this country, the number of white people in this country is actually more than it used to be. Like, it's grown. It doesn't grow by a lot, but it's more than it was in, like, the 50s and 60s. There's more white people now. The issue is there's so many more of other groups
people. Yeah.
Through mainly immigration, not even really through live births, mainly through people coming here. And frankly, I've even been told, I'd have to check up on this, but I've been told, and it's plausible, that in terms of the number of blacks, like immigration from Africa is accounting for most of the growth of the black population, because Native American blacks, like slave descendants, don't really reproduce at high rates because, one, they have a lot of abortions and they kill each other off, but the males kill each other at young ages, so like a lot of them end up, I'm not even joking, like the number of murders in that community is fucking astronomical. It's crazy how much they kill each other. It's wild. Like, it's really very high. We don't have an accurate look at it from the statistics because so much of it goes unreported, but so that population isn't growing. That population would be shrinking. So they're making up for it with immigrants from Haiti and Africa, and also just these other. So, but if you think about it, what happens? What would happen with an America with just fewer people and more white people? Well, less higher wages,
less
more good work opportunities, higher standards of living, less pollution, less congestion, less traffic, less basically.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Less unpleasant things and more good trends.
Things would be more gooder, yeah.
Yeah. So less, you know, and this is sort of like the there's like a libertarian conservative thing of like, oh, this attempt at like population control. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, where's this idea that people trying to actually control the human population is bad? That there's not. First of all, what is the fucking government is for? That's the purpose of a government.
We're getting
to
the hell
control
out of the way.
A population of people.
Government needs to get the hell out of the way of my innovation.
That's fundamentally what it's there.
My current innovation is illegal immigrant child labor.
But you don't have a right to
fucking. The hell out of my way, Washington. You got no right to regulate me.
Right. And that attitude. I mean, that attitude itself is a gay op.
Would you tell the meatpacker doing this to, like, fuck you and your small business?
Yeah.
Would you get mad if I said, fuck your small business, meatpacker?
It's sort of like a mid-business.
It's not a small business, though.
It's pretty big.
Oh, I assume like...
huge profits.
Oh, so he's like a big... so he's like a franchisee. There's like several. I just figured like one Jew runs one meatpacking plant.
Well, I feel like they run them till they get shut down, and then they just pop them up again. Yeah. But they, all
I'm saying like each plant individually.
How many? I'm just wondering though, who are there? They're obviously sending that meat to distributors, and there's probably those are probably.
I mean, I am starving. That's the conflict here.
Yeah. What's doing just now? That parody of like a Republican. It's not a parody. I have a quote. There's no reason why anyone should have to get the government's permission to get a job. Republican Arkansas Representative Rebecca Burks, who sponsored the bill to eliminate child work permits, said on the House floor, this is simply about eliminating the bureaucracy that is required and taking away the parent's decision about whether the child can work.
Dude,
so literally,
this is actually
big
about
government,
making
get
illegal.
Out of my way. I'm going to send my kid into the salt mine.
This is that seems, I mean, see, but what's the reality of it is actually worse because it's not even that. It's like that's a sort of ideological veneer over the dirty truth, which is the whole point of this, is to make it so fucking Jews can hire like 12-year-old undocumented kids to pack meat. Like that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what really happens. So you know, it's not about like little Billy and Jimmy and Sally get to go and have a lemonade stand. You know, not that. You know,
they will take white kids in these professions too. Like if you want to send your white son to go work in the meatpacking plant, get his head chopped off. They're fine with that too. They're not going to stop you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not about like a white kid gets a summer job so he can learn some kind of responsibility. That's like a phony thing.
Yeah.
That's like an aw shucks. you know, like, yeah, like Americana thing. And you know, the other, talking about like gay ops that they've done on the conservative right wing, you know, non-urbanite, non-libtarded, or, you know, just non-liberal white people. Reaganism itself, I mean, this is something we've talked about. Like, Reaganism itself is a fucking psyop. Like, that was, William F. Buckley was a fucking CIA agent whose whole purpose in making Reaganism an anti-big government, the core ethos of the right wing in America in the late 70s and the 80s, was literally to prevent a fucking race war. It was to prevent white people from advocating on racial grounds after the civil rights movement and the explosion of black violence, which was as bad then as it is now. It was to contain that in a acceptable box, and that's what it still is used for. The difference is now that is kind of wearing off. It's lost its luster. It's like you don't get people younger than 50 believing in that shit anymore. So you have to now basically do shit like Elijah Schaefer now is out there actually doing memes about Jews and stuff, but then switching it back to doing the bit of the most annoying thing is like the
whoa. It's not the Jews, okay? It's not
right, exactly.
The Jew. The Jew.
Well, first of all, he's Jewish.
That makes
right?
that makes Remember? Them even more mad if it's like the Jew.
Oh, when you say the Jew, they get that's when they're like, okay, yeah. But his bit is like, yeah, there's some bad Jews. Like, look at these bad Jews at the ADL. Look at these bad Jews at the Pride March. Look at these whatever. But then he's like, but you, if you obsess about the Jews, if you, this is how they always frame it, right? If you obsess about it, it's like you blame all your problems on this other group because you're weak. It's like, wait, but what if I'm not weak? What if I'm just objectively observing the truth, the reality of the world, that, like, yes, this group is creating problems? Like, that's the funny thing that you always have to ask these people, because that narrative is set up to kind of, like, dare you. It's to make you feel like you're a virgin, like moping away if you complain about another group doing bad things that are hurting you. As if you, well, you're the invincible right-wing guy. You eat raw meat and have huge muscles and you know, you do meanie stuff, and it. You can't ever be oppressed. No, like, if you're oppressed, it's because you're something's wrong with you. Or if you think that, now you're, like, a liberal, or you're, it's like, no, but hold on a second. What happens if, like, Jews are, like, fucking hiring 13-year-old Mexican kids to do meatpacking and destroying the environment in, like, Iowa? And I call that out. Is
you
that
mean the longhouse?
Why are you blaming them for your problem? you have your personal issues. Like, no, I didn't have anything to do with that. This is the problem that they created. You know, so it's like, what are you talking about? This, like, personal respect? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. That's like the creeping Reaganism. Like, they're trying to creep it back in, like, by little increments, and it's tempting because a lot of people.
Can I please just grab the thing I just had in my hand? We need to bring. I need to interrupt this broadcast.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Oh my god,
I've got it right here. This is Gunther. Gunther is interrupting our show. I don't have any WWF stuff ready to go, but Gunther has got a wallop. He's got a big tweet this morning.
But
hold on. Let me just set him up.
Another. On their tweet.
Is there any speculation of the KGB helping Osama bin Laden 9/11 as part of Putin's revenge campaign against the West, dismantling his beloved Soviet Union? The logic being to drag the USA into a long war in the Middle East to give Russia time to recover and sap USA resources by such wars?
That's Gunther on 9/11, 2023.
Wow.
Was it the KGB?
I mean,
we must dismantle 9/11. I am, like, calling for the dismantling of 9/11.
X-9/11.
X-9/11.
I am going to do X-9/11.
I'm going to change. Are we going to reconstitute it as 38 different bullshit conspiracy theories? Yes.
I want to do X-9/11 truth. The new 9/11 truth is Russia.
It was all
Russia.
It's
not an inside job. It was an outside job. 9/11.
Well, it was an inside job in the Kremlin.
Yes. Yes.
I'm doing, like my worst Hans and Franz
I can't
voice.
Even do, like, Gunther. Well, I can do Gunther, but I have to, like, yeah, we're doing X-9/11.
Yeah, we are doing X-9/11.
He actually does that. He does.
He's
like, yeah. He does that all the time.
If we are going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This was.
Let's see. There was another Gunther tweet that I don't know if we ever talked about, but it deserves to be mentioned.
Oh, the one where he was basically like talking about with, the Africa?
Gunther.
I'm not ready to go to
Gunther
see
Gunther pointing
Africa.
At the Twin Towers in the plane.
No, not South Africa.
He's like, that. It's like, he's like, that's
this
the KGB.
Is not, yeah, this is not the real planes. This is a hologram put forth by the Kremlin.
The KGB.
Check the tweet that I put in there.
But I'm okay. I was looking at this, but I will look at your tweet too. We could still have Gunther. But okay.
What do we got here?
Okay, what do we got? Oh, this is fake, isn't it? Oh, this is real?
No, that's real.
Israel must be dismantled as punishment for her moral neutrality against the Russian genocide against Ukrainians. Ex-Israel, Netanyahu, Israel, and Austria.
If you scroll up, or that's that picture there, that is fake, but that's still fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the true ally of
that
Palestine.
That is, like, really fucking funny.
That is really good.
I thought this was fake because the screenshot I saw...
That is fucking great.
The screenshot that I saw, in that tweet, like, there was a meme dog instead of his face. So I thought that somebody, like... I thought somebody made a fake account.
No, that one was real, man. That one was real.
I forgot he's there. I put him in... Like, Gunther,
well, this is the problem. This is why Gunther can't really hit the big time. Like, he's a total NATO shill. But he's like, someone hasn't given him the full, it's like, bro, do you understand the whole point of this? Like, you're kind
of... Has you heard of Lucky Larry Silverstein? We are going to dismantle his World Trade Center into two buildings, and we are going to make two insurance claims, because it was technically two terrorist attacks.
Yes. We are doing...
Ex-World Trade Center.
Yes.
But now there will be one building, one massive building.
Ex-insurance claim. We have two. It's better to have more little things than one big thing. Yes.
Where was the insurance claim on Building 7, though? Was that a third one?
Wait a minute.
Like, if America
ever...
You're
dismantling Building 7. We don't know where it went.
If America ever stops funding Ukraine, he's just going to be dealing with time for ex-America. Like, let's split it into 50 states.
So, be like, so once Israel again, don't threaten me with a good time. Three states?
Yeah, well, here's my thing. What are you going to break Israel into?
That's pretty like, chad. Like, he has, like, it's like, yeah. It's
oh,
like,
I'm all about ex-Israel.
It's like
me.
Broke, the two-state solution, woke, the three-state solution. Gunther just comes
hashtag
in.
Ex-Israel.
Well, isn't that what they did in like 600 BC? Caused a lot of problems. Like, it's like, well, I'm calling for like Israel and Judea to be created. Like, King Solomon doesn't want to split the baby in half or whatever, or something like that, you know? he says he's going to cut the baby in half, and the person that doesn't.
It's the fucking, like, it's the three temple solution.
Oh, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
We will build it in 3 days.
The fact is, like... All those temples are fake.
I know.
They're not real. It's all a lie.
I'm just trying to string together inside jokes that no one gets so that everyone feels alienated by our show.
Yes, right. So nobody can listen
no
to
one
it,
knows
right.
What these guys are talking about. What's a Gunther?
Yes, that's true. No, a lot of people don't know what Gunther is, but so what? It's just funny. But yeah, that's pretty based. Again, that's sort of funny. It's like the same thing that... It's sort of the same idea where he was promoting the Cape independence movement in South Africa, which apparently there's a lot of like white racialists involved in that. I'm not sure if that's wrong. Please correct me, but that's what people have told me. I'm not as familiar. So, but that's because South Africa is part of the BRICS, and so he's like he wants everything with BRICS to be. He wants BRICS to be dismantled brick by brick. It's like let's take ex BRICS. Like let's take the BRICS apart. It's like smash the BRICS back to like powder. But like yeah.
Hit the bricks, you
and
mook.
He wants to smash bricks. But, yeah. So, since we've done that, I want to do this.
What do you want to do?
The 9/11 thing.
9/11!
It's funny that he talks about, he's actually talking about how the folk, there's almost a bit of coherence to it where he's like, but what happened to, what about like ex-Iraq? What about like ex-Middle East? Because that's what the whole point of that was. Like, ex-Arab unity, ex-cohesive Arab states, like adjacent Israel. That was what that whole point was. The whole reason we're even fucking with Russia is because they actually interrupted that plan by helping Syria in 2013. Right. It's not an accident. Like, this is one thing the analysts don't talk about. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, it is not a fucking accident that in the year after Russia intervenes in Syria, preventing the overthrow of the Assad regime, that suddenly there's a fucking coup in Ukraine. Now, that should have been in don't get me wrong, That should have been in motion since the mid-aughts when they first did the color revolution with Yanukovych and Yushchenko and all that fucking shit they did. And then the saying they're going to bring Ukraine into NATO in 2008. And they've been agitating for this. But it really picked up steam after Russia intervened in Syria, basically keeping the Assad government in power and making it impossible for the Israelis to reduce that country completely to, I mean, the civil war in Syria is bad. It's still going on. It's very bad. But they wanted that state smashed. They wanted Bashar Assad raped with a bayonet like Gaddafi, and they wanted it yesterday, and it's just not happening. And now they've got the Assad curse, which is like anybody that talks about taking him out just themselves.
Too bad about Gaddafi, though, that he didn't.
Oh, yeah, that was a problem, but you know, that's sort of like what the Russians saw that, and they didn't want that to happen again.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that's why they intervened, because that was what was just going to happen, and these fucking lunatic ISIS Al Qaeda people, which is frankly a proxy for Jewish interests, always right. has been, always fucking has been.
ISIS was like the fakest, gayest thing ever.
Yeah,
you know, what's faker than them? The Kurds.
Well,
Kurds at least they have a nation, like they have an ethnicity that they're.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing is that. But the Kurds will like, they're on like the same side as Al Qaeda, generally speaking, because like they're like, we also need to destabilize Syria. We need all. We're
moderate rebels.
We're just the ones that Jews always use as the excuse to fuck up all these countries.
What's a moderate rebel?
Dude, it's just... It's
remember
just
remember moderate rebels?
No, these moderate democratic... The idea...
Isn't a moderate rebel like they're just... And basically, that's a dissident rightist. You're just going to vote?
Well, the idea there was that, like, yeah, there's actually people in Syria who are just, like, pro-focused on some kind of democracy. It's funny how they roped Antifa into that, trying to commit... There's actually an anarchist movement in Syria, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever your political preference is, there's a group in Syria like that. You should support them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens. But anyway, so I was watching this.
So there's like a group there that's like pro trans and yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, they always find one, right? But the Kurds will just cosplay as whatever. They'll dress up like commies, like Fidel Castro style commies in one shot, and then they'll change that costume and they'll put on like American flags for the next photo shoot. That's just what they do. But no, it's literally, they've been caught doing this. But I did want to talk about this John Mearsheimer interview I had watched over the weekend. And he was talking to the twitchy guy from the Duran and this Norwegian guy. And it was interesting just because what they were interviewing about was like, how does this war in Ukraine end? And frankly, he couldn't really answer the question, and it's not even his fault because it actually is a question. And what the thing about the conversation, it's actually an interesting video if you want to watch it. Now, John Mearsheimer, as you know, he co-authored the Israel Lobby with Stephen Walt. He is a Mischling, but he's one of the few sort of relatively mainstream voices of reason on this stuff. Now, he does get things wrong. And I don't know if it's because he's lying or if he's got his head in the sand.
Yeah, just what does it matter that he's a Mischling? I mean, it's not about the Jews.
Well, it kind of would make some people suspicious of what he's saying. Now, I don't think he's actually like dishonest or a bad guy. I do think he's getting things wrong, and I don't know if that's on purpose or whatever, if he's sort of kind of concealing what's going on in order to not let people know the gravity of it. Like, he definitely is against what's going on. He's not faking that. But I feel like he should know some things that he doesn't say. And that, I'm not really trying to make this an attack on him, but what was interesting is he was saying, and they kept coming back to in this conversation, the idea that, like, the problem is one of ideology in America. And because of the way America views itself and the foreign policy ideology and the ideas that have been promoted around America's role in the world and how we view ourselves, they can't step back and look at it objectively. So they can't see, like, okay, well, we've obviously hit a point. Ukraine cannot win. They can't. It's impossible. They've entered a war of attrition. You're going to lose against Russia if you're Ukraine because it's just way bigger, way more people, way more resources. You simply can't. And they've already basically hit a fucking brick wall with this offensive thing. So they can't win. The theory behind this offensive was they were going to be able to do a blitzkrieg-type operation, make some big gains, embarrass Russia, cut their forces in half, create problems for them, and then have a strong negotiating position to sit down and get the Russians out so they, you know, whatever. But it's always a fantasy. It's not going to happen. But the question is, how does it end now? And the problem is because America cannot, the West, the Jews really, this is the thing. They kept saying the West, the liberal West, the liberal hegemonic West, they cannot, they're trapped in their own narrative. Russia is evil. And when that's what you think, you can't acknowledge that Russia has a legitimate viewpoint. You can't negotiate with them. I'm like, that makes sense. It's very convincing to me. And it would have been super convincing to me like 20 years ago. Like, yeah, there's this ideology. It's in Washington. It's that, and it's promoted constantly in the media. You see it constantly in the media. Like anybody that tries to say, well, here's the problem, trying to bring Ukraine into NATO, Russia saw that as an existential threat. The idea of arming Ukraine, putting maybe nukes in Ukraine, like it's a country right up on their border. Basically, this military alliance that was formed to confront the Soviet Union is now creeping further and further right up to their border. They see this as a big threat. And it's impossible to get Americans to like acknowledge this, right? Or American foreign policy people and diplomats to acknowledge that this is a legitimate concern. This is something Russia should be concerned about. And it's because of ideology. This is the argument they're making. It's very convincing. And it seems like it when you look at the media. And you look at how the media talks about it. And you look at how foreign policy elites in America talk about it. And you look at how Jews talk about it. Jews always talk about things in highly moralistic terms on these fronts. Like the idea that like, okay, well, you know, this foreign country has their interests. We don't really care if you don't like their style of government or if you don't like the people in charge of their government. They have a government. They have their interests. We have to deal realistically with them in order to not have a fucking war because that's bad for everybody. That's not how they look at it. But what they kept blaming was this liberal ideology of spreading democracy. We're the good guys. Russia can't be the good guys because we're the good guys. If they think we're the bad guys, they have to stop thinking that. And just by thinking that, they become bad guys. And if they see us as a threat, then they're bad. Like, they shouldn't see us as a threat because we're not a threat because we're good. And frankly, even if we were encroaching on Ukraine in order to dismantle Russia, then we should just be allowed to do that. And Russians shouldn't see that.
We should
as
have
a threat,
good reason to do that because we're the good guys.
Right. Yeah, and so I get it. But I'm like, I don't even think that's like, I think that's true. And I think that's how they get.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
Gentile elites to see it. And that's how they bamboozle them. But I also think there's a certain amount of like, and Mearsheimer talked about this too. He's like, anybody that wants to be a realist on this, even from the point of just saying like, they can't fucking win, is okay. Like, yeah. is like just cast out from the conversation. Like he was even saying, I didn't know this. He's saying last year, after the Ukrainians had their two big victories, where they drove the Russians back like several miles after in Kherson and Kharkiv or whatever, they pushed them out, and there were reasons for that, whatever. But they did; they won. They won these two victories, right? It was a huge embarrassment and debacle for Russia. And Milley was like, "Okay, now we need to negotiate." I didn't know that. If this is true, I didn't know this. Mearsheimer was saying it. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. That he was like, "All right, now we have them. We've gotten them. Like, and this is as good as it's going to get." Like, this is the best we're going to be able to do. We're not going to be able to do more than this. Huh. We hit them hard. We embarrassed them. We drove them back. We made them look stupid. And they're on the back foot because they don't have a lot of men in country right now. They have a very weak force.
Right.
So let's get them now. Let's sit them down now and force them to a settlement. And they were like, yeah, no. And he's like, all right, well, now they've mobilized. Now they've got hundreds of thousands of more troops. They've got, they've upped their military production. They're just not beatable at this point. They're not.
Right.
I see an article where Millie is talking about how time is running out on this counteroffensive.
Well, they're saying that now. Now, because, dude, they have made zero progress. They've made, like, one little dent in the front line, and it's like, yeah, but, dude, it's another situation. It's like, how much shit did you pour into that spot? And literally, they could just reinforce and do a pincer and just kill everyone. And it's like, they're not getting anywhere. It's almost like they're baiting them in. It's like the Russians keep doing this. They keep baiting them in. And like, when are they going to just... I'm like, is this going to just end when they just don't have men anymore? But the problem is, even then, how can it end? And I think the problem with Mearsheimer's analysis is, again, he leaves out the Jewish issue. Because what Stryker and I were saying about this is like, well, here's the issue. The counteroffensive isn't going to fucking work. And I just don't believe anybody who seriously thought that plan would work. Because they don't, it's not like they don't have satellites. It's not like they don't have intelligence. It's not like they can't see what the Russian formations are, where their defenses are, how many people they have, where they're collecting troops. I mean, they can hide some of that stuff, but generally speaking, they see it, right? There have been articles where they show you these massive fortifications they built, and they have all kinds of people on them. And they've got intelligence. They know what the Russians have, right? They know how strong they are. So what were they thinking? Stryker was like, well, for the Jews, what do they fucking care if these goyim die?
Right.
If there's like a 1% chance of it working, they'll be like, yeah, do it. I don't care if 200,000 Ukrainian lose their lives or limbs. You know, like, who cares? Fuck them. Like, there's a 1% chance it'll work. Do it.
And that's what totally you're on, what you're on the side of if you're claiming to be, like, in favor of the Ukrainian cause.
Right. Like, that's what... It's not even... Like, they fool you, liberals. Mm. Like, Jews are... Like, the ideology Mearsheimer is putting forward is what liberals think.
Right.
What's not what Jews think. And the fact is, though, the real problem is... And they kept talking about the problem of ideology. How do you break yourself out of your headcanon to actually observe things how they are in order to get out of a fucking awful situation? Because frankly, the thing is, because let's look at it from the Russian perspective. You can't trust the West. You can't have you can't sit down and negotiate with America.
They'll blow up your big pipeline.
Because every negotiation...
They'll do damage to their own allies to like try to hurt you.
But the other thing is, every negotiation that Russia has sat down in good faith, they've been made a chump. Yeah, every fucking time, they've been made a chump. Every time they've agreed to something, America doesn't do it. And let's just be honest, Ukraine is just a proxy for America. They had several different... The Minsk Accords, the Steinmeier Plan. All these things are a way of resolving this problem in Ukraine. And they just didn't do it. And then they admitted after the war started, yeah, we were just actually stringing them along while we like dumped weapons and prepped Ukraine for the final actual war.
Yep.
So if you're Russia, if America makes you a promise now... How do you trust that? You can't. You can't trust it. But that puts them in a bad position because now they're like, we can't even trust that any negotiation will get us out of this. So frankly, they don't have a choice.
You know,
but to take the whole fucking country.
We're doing like some throwback 9/11 stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like America going back on the negotiations. It makes me think of...
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
That's basically Putin right now. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
But see, the thing is, Putin actually let himself get fooled like three fucking times.
Yeah, no, that's like me reading base tweets on Twitter.
Right. Yes. Yes.
On Twitter.
All right.
That's true. But see, for Putin's perspective, he just got fooled like three times, and each time he's sort of like, all right, I guess it's better to maybe trust them a little bit than have a war. But at some point, it's like there's just no fucking. The problem is though. And, you know, I think Mearsheimer was ultimately right, but he's not really... My issue is he's not really telling you why. There's the liberal ideology, but then there's just the Jewish interest. And as he was saying, America
Forgetting the liberal white women that really run the show.
Right. And liberal white women are the ones that are really the ones. Yeah.
These longhouse politics, they're hard to get a handle on. So why do straight white women in
they're just
the
so
suburbs,
interesting. Just want, straight white women are going to so force the Ukraine war to continue.
God, and they
want
to have sex with you because you're gay? It's fucking terrible.
Right.
Anyway, go on.
So the thing is, it's like, it is kind of true because he's like, America, Europe is going to get fucked up. Russia's kind of in a bit of a spot because they can't, even if they want to now be like, all right, we've shown you that you can't win. Like, our military superiority here is overwhelming. You cannot win. But they're now in a position where they basically don't have a choice but to take all of Ukraine or take enough of it that whatever's left over, it doesn't matter, because no matter what, that rump state of Ukraine is going to be funded and armed and a de facto part of NATO. So their whole thing of, like, we don't want Ukraine in NATO, like, the only way that happens is if Russia takes over all of Ukraine, or if there's so little left of Ukraine that it doesn't matter. It's just like a tiny little fucking sliver of land that, like, Washington just pumps money into. And that's the only way it can end, because they can't end in a negotiation, because they just can't trust us. And if they do, they're just going to get played. And if they do a ceasefire, then they're just going to start rearming Ukraine, remilitarizing Ukraine, and they're going to have another war later on down the line. So Russia kind of actually is in a bit of a spot there, too, where their only option is going full bore. They can't just do a police action,
shut down
the problem, and over. Because you cannot negotiate with the Jews. Like, that's the issue.
Yeah.
That's the real... The Jews...
crush them. I mean, they've never learned. They always come back.
And what Mearsheimer was actually saying is, like, America is geographically isolated enough and wealthy enough that... We might have higher prices. We might have shortages of some goods.
Yeah.
We might have some annoyances.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like what's going to happen to Europe.
Right.
And we don't give a shit about that.
No.
And in the end, we can just keep causing trouble. Like, that's actually even more true for the Jews.
We're going to contribute to their high prices. Because they don't even care about America. We love it. We're going to sell Europe all of our natural gas that we could be selling here cheap. No, it's
like America's relative immunity from the consequences of causing these problems all over the world.
Yeah.
Is even more so for the Jews, because the Jews are like the power behind the power.
What is this? The Jews.
Right.
Well, it's not about the Jews.
Right. Well, it's about women.
But here's the thing, Alex. You shouldn't complain about things outside of your power and blame other groups for your problems. Yes, it's true. The American Empire, you don't actually have any direct control over, is run by Jews and is causing these problems all over the world. But frankly, what are you, some kind of stupid virgin?
Right.
What are you, some kind of loser? Some kind of, you know, do what, like, one of that, the Tate brother, looks like he's got fetal alcohol syndrome. The one...
Isn't that both of them?
The one that's not black. There's one that's black and one that's
white.
I thought
they were both black.
One that looks
white. They all look like mongrels to me.
Yeah.
They both look like mongrels. One of them looks kind of white, but his face, it looks like he's got, like, a paralysis on one side of his face, like he had a stroke.
Oh, I think that was, you've mentioned this, but I think that's Dresden.
Right, that one. He's the one who's, blaming the Jews, like, you should actually go and exploit...
You should go, like,
take
steroids
fans and girls yourself and do will to power that way rather than complain about Jews.
You should go hide out in Romania or whatever.
You should go sexually exploit poor Eastern European women rather than complain about Jews. That's what you should ought to do. That's what Chads do.
The ADL, for example, tries to censor everybody, but that's not the Jews doing that. That's just a far left organization.
Oh, it's just liberal Jews,
highly liberal Jews,
and they're getting paid. As Alex Jones told us, they're getting paid to make Jews the scapegoats for this.
They're the most pro Hitler organization on the planet. Right?
Somebody's paying.
Isn't that what Alex Jones said?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know how the ADL is pro Hitler? Because you read what they say. When you see the stuff the ADL says, it's all Hitler stuff.
They love Hitler.
They love it. They fucking love it.
Can you imagine, like, all this time the dissident right has been trying to...
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Infiltrate the Republican Party, and it's the ADL has been infiltrating the NSDAP all this time.
I have another critique of
you
Mearsheimer.
Believe it? They've fooled us.
I have another critique of what Mearsheimer said in this interview.
Okay.
Which is one of the things he said is like...
We interviewed him, Stryker?
Yeah, Stryker interviewed him. Actually, that would be a good interview. I would actually love to talk to this guy. But
well, to be fair, Mr. Mearsheimer, like, he would just be talking over him the whole time.
Well, here's the problem.
The point I'm trying to make...
Yeah. Oh, my point is. But, no, actually, there is a point here, because at the very end he was saying, and there's this narrative, there's this headcanon, and he's right about all that stuff, but that's only scratching the surface, because okay. Jews, I don't think, have that headcanon. Like, if you look at the Institute for the Study of War, which is run by the Kagan family, which is basically just Ukrainian, it's not actually analysis, it's Ukrainian propaganda, because they just tell you, yeah, no, the Russians aren't going to be able to take Bakhmut. That's not going to, oh, yeah, the offensive is actually going pretty well, frankly, all things considered. Like, you know, they've managed to take a village in 3 months. They took one village, and just, so it's working.
The
you
idea
know,
that this is going to be... The idea and, that, like, you know, Ukraine is going to be, like, the new, like, Afghanistan conflict. Like, we're going to just...
It's going to be
like,
way worse, though.
Well, I mean, it's just... I know there's, like, old-school thinking. This is, like, bargaining, and you can't bargain. But it's, like... It's, like, goddamn, Jews, like... Why can't you just rule the world in a less retarded, like stubborn way that makes people like actually have, you know, it's like you already have all this financial power.
Right. Yeah.
Like, why do you have to make
why
everybody
can't you just
this
actually
mad?
Be good
why can't
rulers?
You just like,
why
you just
do you
rule?
Have to be
it's
evil?
Like this, but no, you have to go. You're
yeah,
just fucking
why
evil.
Why do you have to be
and
evil?
And the answer
all the
is because we're evil. Because fuck you, we're evil.
Right. Well, the answer is because like you don't, it's hard to fully understand how they view things. You can try, but it's difficult because they see, you know, from our perspective, it's like Jews have been in power our whole lives. It's a very daunting thing. But they have a much longer historical memory. Right. Like they're like, we've only really been in power for 100 so years. And before that, we were pariahs and we were kept out of everything. We just don't want to go back to that. And we're paranoid about that. And they've got their grudges and their scores that they want to settle. But, you know, they've gaslit liberals into this ideology. And it makes it so you can't talk to people. Like, it is true that you can't talk to people who have been... brainwashed by that liberal hegemonic ideology into saying, you know, Russia has a valid interest and they see a military alliance creeping up on their doorstep as a legitimate threat. And that's a red line that frankly, they're going to have to take some serious steps to defend themselves. If they think, like, oh, that's just apology for evil. And I'm like, see, when you look at it like that, frankly, you are the problem in the world when that's how you view things. When you cannot view, and one of the things that the guy from the Duran said, which is something I say too, except there's a slightly different context. He's like, there's nothing moral about fantasy, right? Like, we talk about it in terms of race. Like, the people that have the race ideology that races are equal and refuse to see the results of science and observation that they're clearly not, they see it as a moral premise. It's like a moral right. For them, like, this is the morally right, it's morally right, but I'm like, no, that's bullshit. It cannot be a moral position to deny reality. There is nothing morally superior about denying reality. That cannot possibly be, because if it doesn't acknowledge the reality, then it's not a position that can actually work, and it can't be moral. It can't be morally correct if it denies reality. It simply cannot be. So he was saying this in terms of the refusal to acknowledge Russia's sort of legitimate concerns here. And just doing like, no, they're just bad. It's like, yeah, but see, that's fucking retarded. And that is how liberals think. But the Jews are like, oh, we understand they've got legitimate concerns. We just don't care. We have our concerns. We have our needs, our policies, and our goals. And frankly, for the Jews, the calculation is even, the risk calculation is even less so than America generally. They have even less risk than America generally because they don't ultimately even care about America. Ultimately, that's not even... It's like America, they're willing to see men die. They're willing to see money burned. They're willing to see cities in ashes. They're willing to see damage, destruction, poverty. They're willing to turn this country into a fucking mud flood. They don't care about this country. You would think, even if America was like totally fucking cynical and bullshit with this ideology, if this country actually benefited, that would be one. But it doesn't. Nope. So the risk calculation for the Jews is even less so than for someone who's just pro-American. And I don't know if Mearsheimer knows it or not, but the final thing he said is like the narrative that Putin is the second coming of Adolf Hitler. It's simply not true. And I was like, yeah, but also the narrative that Adolf Hitler was the first coming of Adolf Hitler isn't true either. And that narrative is the core of the Jew gaslighting liberal ideology. The idea that Hitler was the guy. That's where the idea that we're always good. Because that ideology didn't fucking exist prior to World War II. Or if it did, it wasn't like a majority view. the narrative of we're always good, the other guy is always bad, the other guy is always evil, it comes out of the post-World War II thing, and it comes out of the myth of Adolf Hitler as the most evil guy.
Right.
Now, some people would say, well, trying to go back and undo that is way too much effort. It's way too hard. It's difficult. It can't be done. Too many people are brainwashed. It's like, well, you have to at least, you don't have to be a fan of Hitler, but you have to at least be realistic. A lie, promoting a lie, can't be the right thing to do ever. It's not right to lie. It doesn't help things. And that story is a lie. That story is a foundational lie. It's a foundational lie of every evil thing this country has done. Right. So it's not good to just live with it. And I'm sure Mearsheimer himself believes that that Hitler was what they say he was. But I would love to be able to talk to him and be like, hey, listen, you know, you say Putin's not the second coming of Hitler. But is it really realistic to think Hitler was what they say Hitler was either? Or was Hitler just another guy leading a country that had its fundamental interests threatened by the Western alliance? Effectively, the Jewish alliance of, you know, U.S., Great Britain, you know, and the Soviet Union. Like, that's what that really was.
Remember the Ann Coulter?
Same thing.
Remember the Ann Coulter column we were reading last week?
Yeah.
Where she was doing a pretend dialogue between Churchill and whoever.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like, so people cringy. Weren't like that.
No.
In the world leaders in the 1920s weren't suspecting Hitler was this terrible force being leashed upon. It was like this demon. And it wasn't because they were fooled.
It's just looking no, it's at it. They were just doing real politics.
They get lost in his eyes. It's because he was just a leader like everybody else. Right. And frankly,
the Jewish animus for real politic, particularly in foreign policy, stems from that era. Because Neville Chamberlain was doing real politics. He's like, the Germans have built up their armed forces, very powerful. Britain can't really fight them right now. They have certain interests. Why don't we grant them certain things and we can avoid a war? And they were like, no, unacceptable. Unacceptable. And that was trotted out. I remember it was very much trotted out. Every time you're like, well, Saddam Hussein is in the fucking... Neville Chamberlain.
Peace in our time.
It's like, that's not even... Frankly, even if you took that fucking story at face value, that still is fucking retarded. But they'll trot it out every time. They'll trot it out when you start talking about Vladimir Putin. Well, you know, frankly, we just kind of... They've had some border interests. We've got some security interests, and we're kind of threatening now. Maybe we should back off and be more... Neville Chamberlain! It's like... But again, the Jews don't really... Maybe some of them do, but generally speaking, they're like, no, we have our interests.
Right.
Russia is kind of a threat to them because Russia is excluding Jewish oligarchs from power. They've actually put a bunch of them in jail. They've kicked a bunch of them out of the country. They're building up a power base that really isn't cooperating with Zlog. They tried to get them in the early 2000s.
It's pretty remarkable to see that happening.
That was George Bush's whole thing. Remember George Bush talking to Putin in 2003? I looked into his soul and I saw his soulmate and all that shit. They were trolling him about that after this war started. He's like, something happened. He went crazy. He changed his mind. It's like, no, you were just full of shit because the Jews were basically actually trying to just bring Russia into their gay-ass world order. And it didn't work. Not to say Russia is perfect or doesn't have issues or doesn't have dumb things that they think or do. They do, of course. But yeah.
Nab sending me Biden videos. Is this real or is this an AI? I see Biden, I see...
No, I'm pretty sure this is real. I'm reminded of Robin Williams cracking a joke about Joe Biden back in the day. He said that Joe Biden is like your uncle who doesn't quite have his medications right.
Wow, and Robin Williams, how long did he die?
I know, right?
Biden was less senile back then.
Biden, fuck, 10 years ago?
Why do the flags behind him look digital?
He's in Vietnam.
Yeah, he's in Vietnam. But they do look fake.
The flags are holograms?
That looks fucking fake. You're right.
He's at the World Trade Center. He's at Ground Zero.
They look like shitty, Photoshop gradients were applied to them.
They really do. They're like, I could make that.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe they're applying a filter to the whole video here.
I think Alex got... Cool. This is the new thing going forward. We're never going to just be able to play
a video. Well, I know that Biden was in Vietnam.
We're never going to be able to play a video clip ever again. Because it's like, are you sure this is... Because not even fake screenshots. It's like fake video clip. But anyway.
To me, if you don't have a game plan, he may have a game plan. He just hasn't shared it with me. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed. We talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. Okay. We talked about making sure that third world.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in. Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
Yeah, excuse me, third world. The Southern Hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't
access to change. Well, like pennies and nickels. Just give you our
access to Obama.
Access to loose change. Like we want to make sure this third world is watching this 9/11 conspiracy documentary and they think there's no planes.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, there's like 30 minutes of music.
Is it the Incredible Hulk music exit music? Like,
is that what that is?
I think that's what that is.
No,
it's not quite.
It should be like
enough.
The Curb Your Enthusiasm music. Listen.
Well, some like gook is yelling at him.
He's trying to talk
with every person.
Oh, this music is being played live. This isn't.
Yeah, no, this is. They're playing this to like. So
I thought this was the soundtrack of the vigil. Mr. President, I'm Mr. Biden.
Mr. Biden. Police.
So that's the Vietnamese flag.
Yeah.
Why does it look like a Chinese flag at home?
This is a communist one. Because the communists won the war, and now they're like, yeah. Yeah, that was the North Vietnam.
I found that through the Guardian.
They won,
and somebody had posted on the forum. But yeah, that's real. That's actually real.
The Vietnamese flag had the star was not yellow. It was like a different. It was like a blue or something. I don't know. Who knows? There was different stuff.
But, bring loose change to the third world.
Yeah, we want
to
make sure that they all see as Jews. No planes, holograms.
I want to know specifically what does the American regime think needs to change in these countries? Or access
well,
to change.
Just
like, what does it mean? I'd be like, are you saying something wrong with my country, Mr. Biden? Like, what do you mean?
Well, they're saying
what
like,
do you
they
want
change? Development and all that kind of same kind of.
You
crap
mean like you want like IMF loans?
Something like
yeah,
that.
No, you want us in debt slavery? Okay.
We want to make sure that like Paul Singer's Elliott Management can like buy up your sovereign debt and sue you in the world court and just collect money on your tax revenue for.
Oh,
years
I know. They want
this.
They want Charles Schwab to. Not Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab.
What the hell's his name?
Klaus Schwab.
Klaus Schwab. Charles Schwab to feed you Pfizer dividends. No, Klaus Schwab to feed you bugs.
I'm tired of like Dean Witter running these third world nations.
Does that even exist anymore?
I don't know.
Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter?
Well, I remember when, I'm old enough. I remember when it was just fucking Dean Witter before they even merged with Morgan Stanley.
Just remember, like, these are like the radio commercials. What about David Lerner?
Wasn't that like a fucking law firm though? Was that
he was an investment. He had this like super conservative investment strategy. And your
give me your money, Goyim.
Your baskets.
Trust me.
Having a diversified portfolio with all run by one Jew who's making all the fees.
Yeah.
David Lerner and Associates. Just send them to Vietnam. We'll just get some real change.
We
want to
give you access to change.
Yeah. Like
1%. Use some pocket change.
We're going to get you a money market checking account. You're literally going to fucking earn loose change every year with this.
Oh, man. I remember, like, in the 90s, there was these ads on TV where these kikes were bragging about opening up, like, the first investment bank in China.
I've talked about this with a friend of ours. Like, I would go back in a second. Just go back to like 2003 and just obliviously listen to Rush Limbaugh all day.
Oh, yeah.
Just like not have all the shit weighing on you. Pretend everything's fair.
Well, yeah,
fine.
I mean, this is actually the reason I was thinking about
was
this conversation with Mearsheimer and these guys was because like I disagree with like parts of his analysis, but my analysis makes it even like he had a very bleak view, but mine made it even like bleaker. Like yeah. what I know, what I think he also
Let's
knows,
go down a bleaker street.
It makes it even like bleaker. It's like yeah, because the Jews have no. It's like the Russians can't negotiate, but the Jews don't have any reason to negotiate either.
Right.
So how do we get out of this? Like, and I could
annihilation of one population or the other. Well, I guess.
Frankly, I'm actually. Very concerned Stumped. At this point that this will be a wider war. This will not stop here. Because how does it stop? Can we just accept a Russian victory there? Like
no.
if there's no negotiated peace.
What did we do in Afghanistan when they were in right. Afghanistan? How many years did that take?
Right.
Nine?
Right.
Right. 9-10 years right. of giving shoulder filed missiles well, to Mujahideen or whatever the fuck they're called.
I think
Mujahideen.
That I don't think.
I mean, Christ, the fucking Taliban, like they were in the movie Spies Like Us, for God's sake.
Yeah,
you know they were making fun of that.
Well, they were doing yeah they were that was That's a thing that, that was in the news That's then, and there was like people that were warning, like, hey, this is you know we're kind of messing with the wrong people here, like but then again that also made them think. That, like, hey, actually, the Russians, they're not really shit. We can fuck with them.
But they just played the waiting game. It's just attrition.
Yeah. That's the thing with Russia. It's like they're going to make you think that you're going to win, and then you're just not. Like, because they'll just wait you out. They'll just wait you out. And they can't. That's the thing. They can't actually beat Russia. So what are you going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to accept this? God. It's like the one, like, frankly. The Jews have to be, like, I know how crazy this is. They simply have to be removed from power or there will not be world peace. They will no. fucking drag us into
their
another
job
world
is
war.
To, their they job is to create will. Friction for their, so they can profit out of it, so they can...
It's like, really? That's why we get so angry at stuff that we see as, like, distractions leading people down. It's not just because we're sadistic or because we're mean or because we like to be... You do like to be party poopers and rain on people's parades. It's because legitimately...
I actually don't.
This
just,
is so
just
bad
like,
right
I'm
now.
I'm just like, you're pooping on my party. Like, but it's I not thought, even I just thought we had this, like, I thought we understand that there are fake things and there are tricks and you're not supposed to be led down right. these blind alleys and there's people, let's go down the blind alley. I'm just like, God damn
right.
it.
Sounds fun.
Why? The thing is that if you continue to let them take you down blind alleys that ultimately lead back to the Republican Party... Like, we might all die in a nuclear war. I'm not fucking exaggerating. Like, Jews have to be removed yeah, from power, the or they will drag us into a big, massive fucking fight.
The Republicans just want the massive nuclear apocalypse to be cheaper.
Their only fucking criticism is we're spending too much money on the potential nuclear apocalypse.
They want to pinch pennies on the end of the world.
Right, and the reason they make, and the thing is, I actually don't think the average person...
Actually, maybe we should, in that case, we should support Republicans then, because if they pinch pennies, maybe they'll... Well, they never actually pinch pennies on
foreign defense
stuff.
But they don't. It's just a fucking fake meme. So the problem yeah. is that they have put it out there, because if you look at the argument on Ukraine that goes on, right? Look at how it's framed in our media. The leftist side, the libtard side, the liberal hegemonic, you know, the gay American empire, all this shit, right? That is they're taking a very moral position. Their position is like, the Russians are bad. They're doing bad stuff. You're appeasing badness. And frankly, you're not only are you appeasing it, you want to back out. You want to abandon our friends, the Ukrainians, who are getting slaughtered by evil Putin. You want to just leave them high and dry. And just so you could save a buck. That's a much stronger fucking position. If that's going to be the public argument, the fucking Republicans are ultimately going to lose. And not only that, they're going to lose, and they're also, frankly, because Jews control this whole fucking fake thing, there'll be some Republicans like the Matt Gaetz and the MTGs that are going to come out, and they're going to question Ukraine funding. But they're never really going to cut it. They're going to question it, and they're frankly going to make themselves look kind of like assholes in the process, and they're going to get... You know, they're going to get wrecked by the mainstream media, mocked and made fun of and called immoral, penny-pinching with the lives of Ukrainians and such. I'm saying, no, we have to take an opposite moral stance, which is, no, like, right now, continuing to push this war forward is, it's, like, literally, it's killing the country of Ukraine. That country is going to be destroyed. Because the way this thing was created, the way this conflict was set up, The Russians actually don't have a choice but to totally destroy the country. Otherwise, that's their only way out of it.
Total kinetic hole death.
That's the only way. That's their really only way out of it. And because they cannot trust anything. And the Ukrainians, frankly, the Ukrainian government is as much to blame because...
Yeah, Ukraine needs like a massive anti-war movement.
Well, one way that it would happen would frankly be if Ukrainians themselves would kill Zelensky and all of his top people and then negotiate a separate peace with Russia. And come to an actual agreement and then tell America to fuck off. Now, that would... Probably not immediately.
That is some pie in the sky.
It's pie in the sky thinking, but it's one way out.
I don't know what real Ukrainians are like. I only know what like Telegram fake Nazis are like, and I know what like Jews are like.
Well, frankly,
and I know what liberals in America are.
Prior to 2014, there was very little appetite for this type of thing in Ukraine. They would hold their elections and pro-Russian candidates would still win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were sort of divided opinion. They could...
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the free fag edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
They couldn't find a majority. They couldn't even find more than a quarter of the people that were interested in joining NATO. They couldn't find a large majority of them that were like anti-Russia. Just weren't. They were like whatever. Like we just were next to them. We've been dealing with them forever. They just didn't have that sentiment. After the 2014 coup, there was this state imposed anti-Russophobic ideology that really, you know, and the media went crazy with it. And I don't, you know, you don't know how many Ukrainians agree or disagree with that because it's right now it's basically a complete fucking police state. Yeah. Has been for 8 years. So
I don't know. Well, let's take a break. We got the Merchant Minute coming. And I don't know. I guess I want to do more 9/11 stuff because, of course, I'm flipping through Twitter and that's basically all that's there. And there's a lot to make fun of. So, we will be right back.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la!